I want to go to the book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter. And if my voice is a little scratchy, just bear with me. And that was a good message we heard by Brother Mike, wasn't it? Amen. It's a good message. And it touched some hearts, and we had people that received it and saw things like they had never seen before. We appreciate that, Brother Mike. Amen. When you can speak something that has an effect on people in a good way, that's what it's about. That's what the Word of God, the preaching of it, is all about. And it's worth whatever effort we put into it as we seek after God. Chapter 4 in the book of Proverbs, and I want to start at 14, verse number 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil. In italics it says of evil men, but I can read it either way because the italics could be left out. Avoid it. Let me read again. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They're not going to rest until they can cause somebody some problems, in other words. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is just as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at all where they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. God bless you. You may be seated. Now you can think your way through a lot of things and get by. But there are some things that you just can't think your way through. Amen. The issues of life don't come from the way you think. Although, in the issues of life, we have to think a lot. But the issues of life come from the heart. The Word of God says that God looks upon the heart. And if we're going to be saved, it's because of what's coming from the heart. If we say we believe and we think we believe, we have all the reasons to believe. And that's as far as we go because of the way it seems to be rational that we should believe. And we think of all the reasons, you know, why it's a good idea. And even read the whole Bible and think our way through how it does or does not make sense. But finally come to a conclusion that it must be right, so I think I will believe. After all of that, you could be lost and end up never finding what you're looking for. But if you set your heart on knowing God, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to find Him. Praise God. You don't have to reason it out so much. You don't have to debate the issues, because God not only looks upon the heart, but He searches the heart. And we call upon Him for help. He brings His ability into our lives, and His knowledge and His way, which is something we can't figure out because our minds just aren't great enough to figure out God or how He does things. So it's sort of like, I guess you could compare it with falling in love. You can look at your girlfriend or your boyfriend, that or potential girlfriend or boyfriend, and have all the reasons why that is the hunk of your life or the sweetheart of your dreams, and set your mind, I'm going to get her or him. That will be mine for the rest of my life. And no matter how you think, and no matter how you reason it out that it should work, and no matter how many ways you try to make it work with all the reasons you can think of why it should work, it just may not work out at all. But if you set your heart to it, you don't have to do a whole lot to make it work out. Because when you start setting your heart to go after something that you really want, you live and breathe to get it, even if it doesn't make sense. You thirst after it. You hunger for it. And no matter what anybody says or does to stand in your way, nothing's going to stop you from believing it can happen. If it doesn't seem possible, it can happen. But God's way is so much greater than even that. It's just a small comparison of what I'm trying to say tonight. If you really want God, you will fall deeply in love with the idea of finding Him. Hallelujah. And nothing will stop you from searching for Him. And as you search for Him, even if it seems there's no way that you can ever find Him, the heart makes a way when the mind can't see a way. Praise God. You'll find yourself doing things in order to please God that you would not ordinarily do, and people around you would say, you don't have to do that. Does your church make you do that? Does your preacher tell you, you've got to do that? I've been a Christian for 40 years, and it was easy. All I had to do was what I was told to do, because somebody a long time ago figured this thing out. They figured it out, and so you do what they say to do, and you're all set. But you might notice these types of Christians have a tough time living a consistent, godly life. In fact, the life that they live seems so similar to the way of the world, it makes you wonder if possibly they're still of the world and not even walking with God sometimes. Because they don't seem to have to change anything in order to do what they were told you can do in order to be saved. Just say the right words, make the right decision, and claim it, and you've got it. We're entering to a turning point, which is actually not a turning point, but it's a straightforward from here thrust that God has placed upon us, knowing that we would get here at some point, and now the point is here where we're going to launch forward. Time and distance does not matter with God. His purpose is what we depend upon. Amen. Amen. Years may go in our lives, may go by, and we may find ourselves getting older, and people may come and go, and we may find ourselves with a small number, but nothing changed with God. His calling is very sure. His purpose has not changed, and what He intended to do when He first started showing visions and an awareness of what He would intend to do in this particular ministry, it's still what it was. Most of you know it's coming. And most of you know it's been a coming, but most of you are not ready for it to happen now. I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about everybody in the world. When something happens now, it wasn't exactly when they thought it would happen. It doesn't matter when now is. It's when it starts happening. Oh, I wasn't prepared. I had plans. Oh, this is getting in the way of all the stuff I do. Oh, wait a minute. What did You know, the mind just can't figure it out, and it becomes very frustrating when God has an agenda that just messes up all your plans. Because you reason out everything you're doing, and when I say you, I'm talking about you, whoever you may be out on the internet or in this place, or something for the people here to ponder in your heart for the person who may ask questions concerning what I speak tonight. This may not be something you need to hear, but it may be something you need to know. Hallelujah. And so in order to know it, you may need to hear it. Because you're going to be called upon to be a coach for somebody who doesn't know what to do. You're going to be called upon to be the guiding light for somebody that can't find the light until you guide them to the light. Because your light is something that shines. You're like a city set on a hill because Jesus is shining through you. This is the light of God that came to shine in the darkness, pointing souls to the way of light. And sometimes you're going to find yourselves being the only light that they can see because they do not understand where they're going or what's going on. But they see you bright and shining and having some kind of something that they can't comprehend because they still walk in darkness. But they want this. They want to be able to shine like you shine. Amen. They want to be able to walk upright and clean and pure like you walk. They want to be able to live like you live. But everybody wants a shortcut. You do the work and then let me do what you get to do. You pay the price of whatever you had to go through, all the pressures you went through, all the sleepless night, all the agony, all the things that about drove you nuts. Go through those years, and then when you get finished to being what you're trying to become, I'll show up and you just give it to me, and we'll just be fine. You work at the job, and you study hard, you go to college, make a career for yourself, and get yourself all equipped to have a real good job, and make a lot of money, buy a lot of property, have a lot of new cars, and then just give it to me. Because I've already reasoned out, by the time I get to the same place where you are, you're rich, now you need to give me my fair share. After all, you are a Christian, aren't you? Or after all, you do believe in, you know, helping others, don't you? And as people try to think their way through, rather than put their heart into making it through, they become beggars. They become dependent upon those who have the hearts in trying to do better. If you want to have a real good job, you don't think your way into it. You put your heart into it, and then you get a real good job. Hallelujah. If you want to keep a good marriage, you folks who may be married, most people seem not to be nowadays, and if they are, they're not married long. But you folks that may still be doing the rare thing called marriage, if you want to keep a good marriage, don't try to figure out how to do it because there ain't no woman on earth you'll ever understand, men. And there's no man, dear ladies, that will ever please you in every way. Sorry. We don't exist. There's not one among us that will please you in every way. There are no two people, male and female, that come together in a marriage that has it all figured out. But many sometimes get married and then they look across the field and they wish they had that one instead. Because something's mighty good about that other marriage over there. They seem to get along real well. He loves her and she loves him, and they have peace and they're buying things and driving nice things, and I sit here broke and my old man's a bum, and our my old lady's a witch. You know, our kids are morons, and their kids are going to college. And why couldn't I have gotten a wife like that, or why couldn't I have gotten a husband like that? I would have been happy if my old man had been like that fine person over there who's winking at me. We both know we must be soulmates or we wouldn't be feeling like we do about one another. And so they start thinking about it. And if they put their heart into it, hey, they'll convince themselves, he don't belong to her, he belongs to me. Hey, you don't have to watch soap operas to figure this out. Just talk to your neighbors. Generally, people are living like this, living like dogs and hogs. Does any of this sound like anything that you know about going on in your life around you?
Yes, sir.
And when somebody drifts into a church like this, wow, where'd you get all this stuff? Wish I could do whatever it is you're doing to get all this stuff. Why are you folks so happy? Don't you know we have trouble in the world? Don't you know life is miserable? I'm having such a tough time. How come you're not having a tough time? I had a man asking me for a little bit of money a couple of nights ago, and I didn't have a penny on my name at that particular moment. Oh, I could have gotten it. All I got to do is ask one of you that's broke as a skunk, and you'd have given it to me if you could have borrowed it from somebody that has some. It's not how much we have that makes us happy.
Amen.
Talk to the rich people out there. They will tell you, we're not happy. We got all that money can buy, and we're still not happy. Oh, they were happy, you know, when they were able to reach certain points and make a better life for themselves, but they weren't happy. They tell you they're not happy. Millionaire entertainers kill themselves because they're not happy. People who have built skyscrapers jump off the skyscrapers because they're not happy. They can own a dozen casinos and have billions of dollars, but they're not happy. Amen. So what does it take to find happiness? Put your heart into it if you really want it. Because it is available. Hallelujah. Happy is a person whose God is the Lord. Happy is a person who surrenders his will to Almighty God. Happy is the person, amen, who makes a decision, not my will, but thine be done. In order to be happy, we have to find that place in life when we quit trying to figure it out and we just hear the word of God and say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. It's not going to necessarily make sense. I have baptized people in the name of Jesus who didn't know why they were doing it. Later, they testified, oh my, I'm so glad I did it right. The only reason I was able to baptize them in the name of Jesus, they were so hungry for God, and they'd heard it some other way all their life, but they wanted God, and they wanted Him, and they wanted Him with all their heart. And when the name of Jesus was mentioned, they were familiar with that name because they'd heard it as they had sought after God. And they had said, thank you, Jesus. And, oh, I praise you, Jesus, in their earnest desire to know God. And so when I said, I now baptize you in Jesus' name, they didn't see a problem with that because that's something that they had been saying in their attempt with all their heart to find God. People say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're wonderful. Amen. But when you try to baptize them in Jesus' name, if they've tried to reason it out, sometimes they will fight you and back out at the last minute. Amen. Or they'll go repent for doing it wrong and go to some pastor that doesn't have the revelation, who maybe went to 5 or 6 years of seminary, where he had to think a lot, and finally got into the books real deep to where, you know, they became respected as a real smart divinity expert. And, you know, they know so much, so how could they be wrong? See, God's way brings people like little old country me into the picture, slobbering as I speak. Amen. Getting old and acting like a 16-year-old because I'm enjoying life so much. Having a place that we call a church, and this is as unorthodox as it gets for a church building. Suggestions all around, you know, when you get big, you need to get you a church building and have some nice pews. No, we just need to get a few more places where we can have outreach. That's all we need. I like to live out of my shirt pocket and use a suitcase. That's all I need, maybe a file cabinet and a recliner. I'm all set. And one reason for that is, hey, they take everything I got away, I'm still okay. Because I got my heart set to please God. I don't want to be so tied up that I can't go forward. I'm going to live loose as a goose, wise as a serpent, and harmless as a dove. Because some soul out there may have their heart set on knowing this same God and willing to do whatever it takes to have God in their life. Not because I have found Him, but because they really want God. They really want God. And you know, and that's who I'm looking for. And when I can find that person, I want to be able to drop everything I'm doing and just stay with that person and say, look, it's for you. You don't have to say much. They find it. They hang on every word you say. They don't debate. They don't argue. They want what you've got, not to take it from you, but to arrive to where you have found what you have. And they're willing to go through whatever they have to go through to find this soul-satisfying salvation, regardless of friends that may turn against them. Amen. You almost have to be an oddball to serve the Lord. You don't have to be strange like I am. But you have to be a stranger to the world because the world does not know Jesus. Thus, it will not know you. So, the people come around and say, so why do you people look different? It's hard to give an answer that can satisfy. Because they can't hear it when you say, love not the world or the things of the world. For if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. They can't understand that. Some of you that try to explain that may not understand it. Because how can you be in this world and have a lot of stuff that you enjoy and love so much and then not love it? Knowing God gave it to you. And, you know, so the confusion comes in trying to figure that out. So the next thing you know, in trying to figure that out, even though you might have come to God with all your heart and did everything you could to get there, then you start rationalizing, you start thinking, well, they seem to have it better than I do. Because along with thinking and reasoning it out in this old world, you find yourself drifting. And what you have found was something you found while going forward, and you don't realize it. The current was against you all the time you were going forward, but when you stop going forward, you don't stop. You start going with the current. And the current takes you right back to those areas of living where maybe this other way will work. You've already been there, but somehow you get blinded to the good things you've been enjoying when this starts happening to you. I'm talking to you, meaning hundreds of people that I've worked with for years. It's the same pattern with every one of them. They get joy like a river as deep as the sea, on fire for God, and then they get with the wrong crowd. They lose their purpose for being there sometimes. Not in every case. The people who have their heart set on following Jesus, wherever they show up, they are a shining light. They are an answer. They have something flowing, love shed abroad in their heart, and you just can't find them anywhere where not people are not being attracted toward them rather than them drifting to where those people are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, hundreds come and go. Thousands come and go. Every minister I know could tell you horror stories about people they work so hard to bring into the kingdom of God. And they were so on fire, and now they're out there in the world. Amen. And some people trying to find God, when they see somebody that they put all their, you know, hope and trust in, they look at that person and say, my, if that one can't live it, my hope is there for me, so I just won't even try. You think like that, and you're just going to mess yourself up really good. But no matter what anybody does or says or comes in and lives good for a while and then forsakes it, the person that has a heart set and the mind set and wants God no matter what just keeps going on. Hallelujah. Just keeps going on. And I could say right here like Paul said to a bunch of ex-sinners, such were some of you. But now, you have found the way. And you don't want to dare slip back because nothing back there attracts you anymore. Having forsaken all to follow Jesus, the good things that you need in your life as you follow Him are still available for you. And the bad things, it's not good for you anyhow, but just leave you confused and messed up in life. Amen. You walked away from that, so why drift back into it? Why drift back into the worry and the fear and the doubt and the complacency and the confusion over the ways of the world and all the things that people are so concerned about? Why drift back into that, I don't know how we're going to make it state of mind when God has told you in a place where you found your freedom, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why entertain the idea of thinking anything in this world is so important that it needs to take us back to what that is that our soul is longing for, our heart is reaching for. Everything in our existence is crying out to the living God. I must have Him. I'm like a baby deer by a brook of water needing one more drink. Oh, I thirst for Him. And when you live that way, you find yourself living abundantly. Hallelujah. Abundantly. Hallelujah. Living abundantly. Sometimes when we live abundantly, we have money. Sometimes when we live abundantly, we have no money. Sometimes when we live abundantly, we have a lot of things. Sometimes when we live abundantly, we have nothing. But if you have Jesus and you sought for Him from your heart, the issues of life flow from the heart. Thank you, Jesus. You know you're going to be all right if you give your last dime to the church. You know you're going to be all right if the landlord's breathing hard and talking loud. You know you're going to be all right because God is everything in your life. And no matter how the world turns your life upside down, you're all right. You don't get depressed. That's something that you got rid of back yonder. Now, while others would be depressed in your situation, and they see you still walking in victory, not knowing how you're doing it, you're going on for Jesus. Hallelujah. Having forsaken all, you follow after that which your heart desires. And God looks upon the heart. He has not forgotten about you. He looks upon the heart. He sees you not having the things that you feel maybe you should have. But you're not holding against God, and you don't know what's going on. You don't understand it. But one thing you do know, I know my Redeemer's alive. I know that I will see Him someday. I know that when all the skin worms have turned my body into nothing but dust, I shall stand before Him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Devil, bring it on. If there's anything else you can find in all this rubble, take that too. Just give me Jesus. Worship Him right now. Hallelujah. There has never been a sold out Christian that didn't have what it takes to start all over again and make it. The most positive mind of all positive minds is Jesus Christ Himself. Just as you know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Jesus also knows that He can do all things through you who will continue to trust Him in all things. Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. There's really nothing more beautiful than a dying saint of God saying, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Or reaching out from under that oxygen tent before that last breath and squeezing your hand, the last time to ever squeeze any hand on this earth, saying, everything's all right between God and me. Hallelujah. While some souls stand around the casket and weep and have a deep pain in their heart and say, Mama's gone, it's over. Others with pain and sadness because Mama will be missed. Sometimes you'll see them stand side by side with that person who's so grieved. And a smile will come on their face and say, thank you, Lord, for Mama. Thank you, Lord, for this praying Mama. Thank you, Lord, for letting me have a mother that would teach me the good things of life and cause my heart to long after you. Thank you, Lord. You know, and I've actually seen dancing and speaking in tongues as children whose departed mother or daddy had departed this life. I've seen them stand by that casket with hands uplifted and start dancing and speaking in tongues. And it wasn't just an emotional frenzy. They were really praising God. Hallelujah. It sure does make it easier to let your loved ones depart. Glory to God. I went to a funeral in St. Louis for the youth director of the district that I was a part of in Brother Rome's church. Found that he had a terminal illness and didn't have much longer to live. So he went around and told everybody, I'll be checking out unless the Lord wants to keep me around a while. Be gone in a few days. So he planned his own funeral. And he wanted to sing a song for everybody at his own funeral. And they had him on a tape recording up next to the casket. He wanted everybody to hear his song. Amen. And the place was crowded because he's a popular man, but he loved God with all of his heart. And he wanted all of his old buddies to come. He wanted to make one last statement, even though he would be dead when he made it. He wanted everybody to hear his last words while they came to see him for the last time lying dead in a casket. He planned it all out. He invited all his old school buddies. He invited everybody he ever knew in business to come to his own funeral. And bring their families, because he said, I'm going to sing a song for you. And you've never heard me sing, but I'm going to sing at my funeral, and I want you to hear my song. And we gathered around in that church. The balconies were flooded with people. People were outside trying to get in. It was just crowded. And there his casket was and his tape recorder. And when they turned on that tape recording, he started singing, "If you want to know where I'm going soon. If anybody asks you where I'm going soon." By this time, half the congregation was standing up and swaying a little bit. "I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder." Some of the old school buddies started standing up. "I'm going up yonder." Old school teacher started standing up. "To be with my Lord. I'm going up yonder." And as they stood and started swaying, 1,000+ people, "I'm going up yonder." I heard somebody go, "Woo! I'm going up yonder." I saw some hands go up. And the next thing you know, people were receiving the Holy Ghost at that funeral. Because there were people there that knew this guy in the past. Suddenly their heart wanted to know what he knew, although he was dead. And to have what he had, although he was no longer with them anymore. I believe some of them actually wanted to just jump in that casket with him. Because it went nuts around there. Shouting, dancing, speaking in tongues. You folks watching this from St. Louis and from Bridgeton, you older ones that are of my age and above, you remember that, I know, because when I talk about these things, I always get an email from that church. Oh, thank you. I remember that so well. And I know I'll get email tonight or tomorrow. Because when you see this, you tend not to forget it. Praise God. "I'm going up yonder." And he was singing a happy song. He was singing a happy song. After the funeral, I stood out on the church parking lot. Big, spread out place. Brother Mike's seen that place. I took him there once. I stood out on the parking lot, and I heard some people say, "I don't think they should have a funeral with all that know what's going on. They're supposed to be reverent during a time like that." They missed it all. They were standing right there and they missed it all. Because in their minds there was a lot of thinking going on. But those folks on the inside who somehow, even though they hadn't been going to church, some of them, they were moved and they were blessed. A hunger developed and a thirst developed. And right after that funeral, all the churches in that area reported new people started coming, and all of them knew that man. And they had revival. Praise God. Some people can speak loud after they die just because of the way they lived. It doesn't take a lot of words to convince somebody that there's something available for you. And when your heart really wants it, it doesn't take you very long to find it. Praise God. Praise Him again, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So keep your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Amen. For out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. For out of the heart comes what it takes to be able to find God. The reason a lot of people are going to come here in the next few weeks and months and years, and the reason we're going to have to find ways to adjust to accommodate the crowds, and the reason I'm so happy because we're going to go through a whole lot of hard work and trying to figure things out, the reason I can be really happy about all the things that we're going to go through and all the devils we're going to have to fight, I'm so happy about it. And all the confusion is going to be like a volcano in every corner erupting as people start fighting among themselves over the truth that we possess. This ain't going smooth right now. Don't enjoy it while you can. It ain't going to be smooth long. War's about to break out in Norwich, Connecticut, and it's going to be all over. "Why you guys getting baptized? Don't you know that's of the devil?" And others are going to be saying, "How can anything in the name of Jesus be of the devil? Your mama didn't teach you that way." they're going to say, well, I just think it's wrong. You don't know what it is. We've never, in all my 27 years in Norwich, all the mighty moves of God we've had, and all the wonderful things we've talked about, and everything I've ever told you, you don't even have the foggiest imagination of what's just about to hit you square in the face. Don't get scared. Have faith in God. I'm so excited. And if you lose out, it's just because you're thinking too much. Put your heart in this thing. God's going to give you so many jobs to do, you're going to get dizzy trying to keep up with it. Now let us stand up and praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm so thankful you're here. I'm so thankful you're here because it only takes two or three to wear me out. New ones I'm talking about. I spent 9 weeks in Louisiana watching 205 babies that I had to burp every night, 24 hours a day. And the rest of the church abandoned me. We had 300 members there that didn't know what you know. They didn't have the teaching you have. You don't realize what you've got in you. You've got what it takes to build 1,000 churches like this, and every one of them have 1,000 members in each one. You've got what it takes to do that right now. Praise God. Yeah, you may be sitting there thinking, well, I've heard the wind blow before. I don't see what he sees. What is this he's talking about? You might have been looking maybe at a computer or at a funny book or something. I was in church this last weekend. There was a little boy right in front of me. Man, everybody's praising God. Bunch of people praising God, standing on their feet. I was being blessed. They were being blessed. And I looked down while Daddy was being blessed as the little boy was playing video games. Now, that was stupid. It was stupid for the daddy to be worshiping God while his kid was playing video games. That video game should have been put under that daddy's foot and stomped on in the name of Jesus. Because he was teaching his kid, you don't have to pay attention in church. This is just me enjoying God. You don't have to be like daddy and worship God. I'm going to worship God. You go ahead and play. So what are you teaching your children today? Parents, you better shape up. Because there's some children going to come in here and throw away their video games. And you don't need to still have one while they're trying to show what in their heart has been changed. Praise God. Daddies, mamas, wake up. Realize who you are and what you possess. This church has come to this point because our hearts are in this. Our hearts are in this. We're in this to please God. It doesn't make sense to be in Norwich. Some of us don't like it here. Me included. There are a lot of places I love. There's no place I love better than White River Basin in Arkansas, where the big crappie are and the largemouth bass are waiting on me. Been waiting a long time. They're really getting old by now. They've been moved. They probably got some 900 pounders down there by now. They don't get that big, but oh my. But you know what? I can think of all the reasons why it would be better for me to be doing that than doing this. I could have peace of mind. I could have a gentle retirement. I mean, I know enough stuff I can do with just network marketing just to make a good living for the rest of my life till I just die under the nice shade tree in my hammock. I know how to do that. In fact, I know enough about music. I could go down there and sit on the riverbank and make phone calls now on a cell phone and sell enough instruments a month to get more than retirement can pay me, more than the government can pay me. And I don't have to worry about them taking away my Social Security because I can make that much money with a cell phone in my hand while I'm fishing. And when I think about it even now, it sure does sound good. Especially since summer's coming and the crappie are going to really be biting in just a few days. Brother Joe, take this. I think I'm going to go to Arkansas. No. No, wait a minute. Don't take it. Something drew me back. And I'm just playing with it a little bit, but you know what? There's never been anything in my heart that I would rather have as far as in this life than a nice rod and reel some nice lures that I like, a good crystal stream filled with fish, and a campfire and a cabin. Now, to me, that's heaven on earth. You may not see that, but you're not where who I am. Yeah, me too. And they don't have a fishing hole in this cesspool of Norwich, Connecticut that I want to fish in. But you go down to Arkansas, crystal clear. Oh, there it is. There it is. You don't even have to get out of your chair to catch it. You just, you go like that. And you go, it's a big one. It's a big, oh, I'm dreaming. I'm living in my past. This is too good to be true. Oh, hi, everybody. What am I doing here? Fishing for men, for my Jesus. And that makes all of that mean nothing to me, because my heart is in the work of God. And to know that a bunch of big fish are just about to crowd this place, and my rod is in my hand. And I'm sitting in my chair, and here they come. Here they come. My heart rejoices. My tongue is glad. Bring them on. Hallelujah. Let them get hung up with their hang-ups. Let them go where they want to go, but I'm going to keep a tight line. I know that somewhere in the middle of all this, there are going to be missionaries going forth, pastors raising up congregations, and you're going to enjoy the benefit of having endured till now because your heart is in it. Regardless of what it looks like out here. Would you praise God tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Oh, praise the Lord. Can we just come out of our chairs for a few moments here and just praise the Lord? What a message.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
Pray
and, thank you, Lord.
And just
Hallelujah.
Make sure you're ready for this thing.
Thank you,
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Thank, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because if you're not, you probably won't make it through it.
Thank you,
be
Jesus.
A different congregation in just a short time from now.
Right.
Praise
right.
God. And that's just the truth.
It's the truth.
Hallelujah. God has a way of taking driftwood and dead wood and moving it out of the way.
He does.
Hallelujah. Don't be that. Amen. Praise God. Call on Jesus' name, would you? Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, no matter.
Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah. No matter how we Hallelujah. Feel, no matter what the hour is, praise God, no matter what we're thinking, hallelujah, no matter how it looks in life Jesus, all around Jesus. Us, praise the Lord, our lips Jesus, are going to give Jesus, thanks to your name.
Jesus.
God, we believe every word that proceeds from your mouth, and we know and see as well the goodness of God that's upon us. And that's upon, Lord, you as you're drawing souls to yourself. Help us to be ready for this thing. To be, God, ready in mind and ready in heart. And ready, Lord, with our availability. Ready in our prayer. Ready in our fasting. Ready, God, in our diligent search of Scripture. To be prepared teachers, Lord, of those who will be hungry for what we say we possess. Praise God. Help us, O Lord. God, we give you glory. We give you glory.
Hallelujah.
We give you glory tonight. We give
Hallelujah.
You glory tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. We
Hallelujah.
Give you glory tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord,
Praise
for just upsetting
God.
The
Praise
apple
God.
Cart. Praise God and turning things, God, upside down that
thank
say
you,
they're
Jesus.
Up. They're upright, Lord, when they're not. Praise God. Thank you for just making crooked places straight, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for every preacher being baptized in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And, Lord, preaching the truth about who you are,
Jesus.
What you're all about.
Jesus.
Praise God. Praise
Jesus.
God. We give you glory.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you,
Hallelujah, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for, Lord, the fire and a flame in our spirit about what we love and about what we possess. We thank you, Lord, for the crucifixion, Lord, of all complacency, all laziness. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise the name of Jesus. I'm going to give you the same advice that a dear, wise pastor gave me as I was leaving. And his name is Guy Rome. And my question to him as I was leaving the wonderful setup that he had for me for a couple of years there in St. Louis to launch out into what we're doing here. I was doing going from there to Dawson Creek. I had it made in St. Louis. But Dawson Creek, they were going to be trying to kill me when I got there. But my heart was to do something for God. And so I looked at Brother Rome and I said, Brother Rome, in all your wisdom, all your years of building churches and pastoring thousands of people and winning thousands to God and baptizing thousands, give me some sound advice. I'm going to go pastor the first church that I've ever pastored, and I want you to sum up the bottom line and tell me what to always remember from all your wisdom. Give me words that I can lean on. He thought for a second and looked at me and he said, stay one step ahead of them. I give you the same advice because you're going to need to know that there's going to be somebody that you need to stay a step ahead of. Don't let them get in front of you. They represent the world. You know who you are. Follow God and lead them forward. Amen. Let's praise the Lord again, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.